I'll be reading this morning from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Let me encourage you to have your Bibles open there to Ephesians chapter 5. While you're turning back there, I want to take again just a moment this morning to express to you my appreciation for your presence. We have had a busy weekend, but a good weekend because we have spent it in God's Word and used God's Word to sharpen our understanding and discuss together and encourage each other what His will for our lives is. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, my name is Jason. I'm glad that you're here. We've been talking about transformation this weekend, and we want to continue talking about transformation throughout the rest of the morning, if the Lord wills. We have set our sights, our goal, on real transformation, not simply talking about the idea of transformation, not simply acknowledging that there is a God who has a will for my life and I know that I ought to pay more attention to Him than I am, but it's the sort of thing that I'll get to later. No, what we're talking about this weekend, we want to continue to talk about this morning, is real transformation. And Friday night we talked about where that begins. That begins with discernment, being willing to ask the question honestly and objectively and fearlessly, what is God's will for my life? Whatever it is that He wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And so I need to understand what it is that He wants from me. And once I understand that, then I'm going to adopt that as my way of thinking. I want to learn to think the way that God thinks, and I want to talk the way that God thinks, and I want to react the way that God wants me to react, and I want to handle the ups and the downs of life in the way that God is calling me to. We'll have a couple of passages of Scripture that remind us of those two points in just a moment. But discernment and adoption lead us to this idea of renewal. We know what it means to renew something. If we're talking about a magazine subscription that we very much enjoy, and we don't want to miss a single issue of that, we understand that when that last issue comes, or even before that last issue arrives, we need to renew. We need to begin or to take up again. If we've got a membership in some sort of a country club that lasts for 1 year, and we want all of the benefits and the luxuries that come along with being a member of that club or that gym or whatever it is, in the coming year, before that membership ends, we understand we need to renew. We need to restore our membership in that club or that gym back to its former state. We understand that our driver's license, every year or every 4 years, depending where you live, expire. And we understand that if we want the privilege of being able to drive without any fear of any sort of legal repercussions, we've got to renew those driver's license. And so maybe we go down to the Department of Motor Vehicles and we stand in that long line and we do our best to be cheerful for those workers who are working all day long asking the same questions over and over and over again. But we're there because we want to replenish or revive or reestablish our legal right and privilege to drive. We understand what it is to renew. We've got something that at one point was in the state that it ought to be, and then gradually it begins to wane or it begins to expire. And so to renew is to make something new again. And I would suggest to you, as we've done our best to take biblical words and biblical ideas and put them in some sort of a logical flow that all of us, young and old, can wrap our minds around, this is where that logical flow goes. It begins with discernment. What is God's will for my life? We've got our Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Here are God's words to His children. Here are God's words for all who are willing to listen. This is where it begins. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's discernment. And that is where real transformation begins. Discernment leads to adoption. Having discerned God's will for my life, I've got to adopt His way of thinking as my own. Yesterday afternoon, we spent some time in Colossians 3 that encourages us to set our minds on things that are above. How do we know what those things above are? That's discernment. And having discerned that this is the way God is calling me to go, this is the way that this world is going, and they do not match, and they are leading to very different places, and I don't want to go that way. I want to be pleasing to my Father in heaven, and I want the abundant life that was promised through His Son, and I want the eternal blessings that are available through the sacrifice, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Then I've got to begin thinking in terms of eternity. We talked a lot about that with our youngest of ages yesterday morning. Here I am on the earth, but my time on this earth is not going to last forever. And so I've got to think in terms of eternity. I've got to set my mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. We had read in our hearing from Romans chapter 11 a great conclusion to a long context in Paul's great letter of Romans, and it leads us ultimately to this climactic statement that serves as the end of transformation. What is the end goal of all of this? The language of Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, including me and including you. All things come from Him. Why wouldn't we listen to Him? All things come through Him. Why wouldn't we pay attention? All things are created for Him and to Him, including my life and including yours. The end goal, as we established Friday night, is to know Him and to love Him and obey Him and show Him to the world around us. A God-centered, Christ-saturated, Spirit-led life requires discernment, which leads to adoption, which leads to renewal. Open your Bibles with me back to Colossians chapter 3, if you will. We spent a little bit of time in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. We want to look at the larger context today because it very much has to do with where this flow is logically leading. So much in the book of Colossians is all about transformation. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we're going to hear from Paul about the needs to seek the things that are above. But he uses two words at the beginning of Colossians 3 and verse 1. If, then, which points us back. What is the foundation on which he has been building? We could take just a very, very quick survey of what has come before this. In chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul has identified himself as one who has sent by God, by the will of God. This is a representative, a hand-chosen spokesman of Jesus Christ who has been sent according to the will of God. What he is writing is truth. The truth. He is revealing for us reality as defined by our Creator. He prays for these people that God would be involved actively, powerfully in their lives. He holds up Christ as preeminent over all, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He makes it clear that he is simply trying to serve all who are willing to listen. He is not in this for his own personal gain. He's not trying to hoodwink anyone. This is his role of service. He has been privileged to pass along things these people need to hear. And he warns them by this letter that has been preserved. He warns us, pay attention. Don't stray away from what you are hearing. Remember who your king is. Remember to whom your allegiance has been pledged, and let no one disqualify you from that. Only then in chapter 3 and verse 1 does he say, if, then, if you understand that Jesus is your king, if you have discerned that there is a God who has a will for your life and he has powerfully spoken, and if you don't hold fast to that will, you can be disqualified. If, then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. We talked about yesterday the importance of setting our minds along a particular pattern of life, working to be minded in a certain way. Allowing God not simply to impact my intellect, but my values and my deepest affections. Why should I do that? Because I've died. It's not about me anymore. It's all about Him. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Question is how? Look with me at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. How is all of this accomplished? Sometimes when we talk about real renewal in a spiritual context, I can wrap my mind around the importance of discernment, and I understand what it would mean to adopt a certain philosophy as my own or a certain cause as something I'm very dedicated to. But now we're digging down deep, and this is the area, maybe from a spiritual point of view, that I'm just not sure how this works. I know what it means to have my attention caught by something, and I know what it means to be willing to follow, but what does it really mean to be renewed deep down in who I am? How is that accomplished? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 is God's answer to that. In Him also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. There's something that has been cut off and left behind by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. What do I need to do? Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive. How does this renewal start in my life? How does it come to take real effect in my inner being? God must make me alive. There are things that I can fill my mind with, but if my heart is not engaged and I do not do what God tells me to do, and then He makes me alive, what I've got is a lot of facts in my head, but my life has not been transformed. God must make me alive. And He does that together with His Son, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Turn in your Bibles with me back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. What Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 is very, very, very much in harmony with what he writes to young Titus in Titus chapter 2 and the 11th verse of the chapter, fleshing out even more our understanding as to how this happens. Let's listen to him in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 when he says that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. What is God's will for my life? It involves my salvation. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. What is God's will for your life this morning? That you would be saved, that you would be sanctified, that you would grow to be holy as He is holy, by turning away from things that are out of harmony with His character and actively being involved and glorying in things that bring your Father in heaven glory. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. How is all of this made available to me? He gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for you to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, Paul says. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. In verse 1 of chapter 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. What is God's will for my life? That I would be saved, that I would be sanctified, that I would live as a sacrifice to Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what is reasonable. This is my offering to God for what He has done for me, that I would give myself as a living sacrifice to Him, and that I would be ready for every good work. What is God's will for my life? That I would be saved, that I would be sanctified, made holy like He is holy, that I would live a life of sacrificial obedience, and that I would give myself wholeheartedly to His service. Remind them to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But there is good news. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. Notice, it's not when we reached a certain level of knowledge or human advancement or technological achievement. God stepped into this mess. He saved us. Not because of the amount of discernment that we had, not because of the amount of good deeds that somehow we could perform that would outweigh all of the bad deeds that we have done. He saved us according to His own mercy. Is there anything I need to do? Paul told us in Colossians chapter 2, God made you alive together with Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, very much the same sort of thing here. He saved us according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration. In Greek, that's simply two words that are put together. One of the words means again. One of them means beginning or birth. He saved us by washing of regeneration. It's the same word that He used in Matthew 19 when He told His disciples, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, in the new beginning, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It's the same word. Just like there can be a new world, a new creation, so also I can be a new creation in His sight. I can be regenerated. You can be renewed with a renewal of the Holy Spirit. Once again, two Greek words glued together. One that means new, one that means again. I don't know what sort of burden you've borne into this assembly this morning. I don't know what sort of conscience you had as you went to bed last night. I don't know the forbidden pathways that you've been willing to travel. But here's what I do know. You can leave here born again. You can leave here new again. He saved us, Paul says of Christians, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What in the world is that? Our Father's Son spoke clearly to that in the Gospel of John chapter 3 when He told an exalted Jewish teacher, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That sounds an awful lot like what Paul is writing about in Titus chapters 2 and 3. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Two Greek words, once again, put together. From above, afresh. From above, anew. Something that comes from beyond me, but has the ability to make all things new. Nicodemus, the teacher to whom Jesus is speaking, asks the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is not hard to understand. It's what was preached the very first time the disciples had the opportunity to proclaim the risen Christ, the culmination of God's plan down through the ages. When people asked, what can we do to be renewed? What can we do to have a fresh start? What can we do to start over? Peter told them, repent. These people have discerned that there is a God who has a will and they are in direct opposition to that will. Peter tells them it's time to adopt God's way of thinking as your own. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we're reading about in Colossians 2 and in Titus chapter 2. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, be saved, or save yourselves from this crooked generation. Listen to me this morning. Renewal is available. Regeneration, new birth, a completely fresh start is available to all. In the context of Titus chapter 3, this is what it looks like. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, you were once foolish, but you've been born again, and so now you be submissive to authorities. You were once disobedient, but you have been regenerated, and so now it's time to be obedient. You were once led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, but you have experienced the new birth, and so now you need to be ready for every good work. At one point, you were full of malice. Now, as one born again, you speak evil of no one. At one point, you were consumed with envy. As a newborn child of God, it's time to start avoiding quarreling. At one point, you were hated by others. It's time to be gentle. You were hating one another. It's time to show courtesy to all. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The crucifixion of my old self of sin must translate into transformation of conduct. Let me say that one more time. The crucifixion of my old self of sin must translate into transformation of conduct. If my conduct is not changing, odds are there's still something about that old man or woman of sin that needs to be crucified. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, having been crucified with Christ. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They don't discern God's will for their lives. Alienated from the life of God. They haven't adopted God's way of thinking as their own. It all goes back to their hardness of heart. Verse 19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Why? Because if you've been crucified with Christ, transformation has occurred. And it has an impact on your conduct. That's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, you've discerned, as is the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed. Discernment leads to adoption, which leads to renewal, which demands that I put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what Paul was talking about. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and the 5th verse of the chapter. This is what he is calling those saints in Colossae to. Colossians chapter 3, the crucifixion of my old self of sin must translate into transformation of conduct. Colossians 3 and verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. How? Through renewal, which is being renewed in knowledge, discernment, after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. I've been crucified with Christ, he said. It's no longer I who live. Same thing here. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The crucifixion of my old self of sin must translate into transformation of conduct. And if I do that, God promises, I will help you to be renewed every single day. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self, if we are willing to discern and adopt God's way of thinking as our own and experience this renewal and be ruthless against our sin, crucify it, put on the new self, that inner self will be renewed day by day. So we can confidently say, if I've experienced that washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, I am Christ's. Can you say that this morning? If I have experienced the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, I am in Christ and I am a new creation. Why? Because the old has passed away and the new has come. But I encourage you to wrestle with this. There is nothing more important this week on which you will allow your mind to dwell than this idea. And to help along those lines, basic questions as we close. What old self practices am I continuing to selfishly gratify? Listen, there's nothing good that's going to come from come from not being honest with yourself, and not being honest with God. He already knows. So why not evaluate? What aspects of really following have I been leaving undone? Where am I slipping into unholy conformity with this world? Where are the battlefronts of spiritual warfare in my life? And what areas of my daily walk with Christ need special attention right now? Could I encourage you to make part of every prayer you offer this week, the prayer of David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within you. Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning.